word synonyms. Ime sapta rishayas tatra bhavishyanti svayogataha udhanim asate rajan svaiswat ashrama mandale. So, you can repeat. Galavaha. Galava. Diptiman. Diptiman. Ramaha. Parashurama. Dronaputraha. The son of Dronacharya. Namely Ashvatthama. Kripaha. Kripacharya. Tata. As well. Rishyashringaha. Rishyashringa. Hita asmakam. Our Father. Bhagavan. The incarnation of Godhead. Badarayanaha. Vyasadeva. Ime. All of them. Sapta Rishyaha. The seven sages. Tatra. In the eighth Manvantara. Bhavishyanti. Will become. Swayogataha. As a result of their service to the Lord. Idanim. At the present moment. Asate. They're all existing. Rajan. O king. Sve sve. In their own. Ashrama mandale. Different hermitages. So translation. O king, during the eighth manvantara, the great personalities, Galava, Diptiman, Parashurama, Ashvatthama, Kripacharya, Rishyashringa, and our father, Vyasadeva, the incarnation of Narayana, will be the seven sages. For the present, they are all residing in the respective ashramas. O king, during the eighth manvantara, the great personalities, Galava Diptiman, Parashuram, Ashvatam, Kripacharya, Vishashringa, and our father Vyasadeva, the incarnation of Narayana, will be the seven sages. For the present, they are all residing in their respective ashrams. So, this is no purpose. I'll comment a little bit on each verse. So, Omagana Tivananda Shah. Oops. Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Vidikam Yena Tasmai Shikadavaya Maha. So I think we know most of these personalities here that are mentioned. Galava is actually mentioned in the whole story of the Jagannath Temple. Mm-hmm. He was actually the one who claimed that he had constructed the Jagannath Temple where his king entered. Do you remember that? Anyone remember that story? Anyway, Diptiman, I don't know anything about. Parashuram, I think you all know that. Ashvatam, interestingly enough, he becomes reformed after 5,000 years of smelling bad that nobody would go near him. And then he becomes a great sage. And Kripacharya, of course, he is the acharya of the Pandus and the Kuru dynasty. Rishyashringa, he's the sage with a horn in his head. Who was actually, in one sense, he performed the sacrifice for Lord Ramchandra, Bhar Chatrughna, and Lakshman's birth. And the rest of it, I think everybody knows. Now, what's interesting here also is that the Sapta Rishis, those are the seven sages, is a position rather than the names of specific individuals, as is the position of the Manus, the Manvantara. So these are all different positions, and actually most of the demigods, other than Lord Shiva, the names are positions. And any of us who want to take that particular position, such as Lord Brahma, Vayu, that thing is kind of annoying. that goes on every once in a while. Maybe it needs a little oil or something in the motor. So, so if we want to, we can become any of these different, or take any of these different positions. That's what's exciting, isn't it? You become Lord Brahma, you can become Vayu, you become Indra. Very, very nice. Okay. It's kind of annoying, that sound. Isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it is.
They're working on it. We'll have somebody to come look at it.
Or yeah, they should look at it. So, all right, so we'll go on to the next verse. And they're right now they're just waiting. These are, these entities are like Chiranjiva. That means they, whoops, there's another sound. We get a lot of sound effects here. Chiranjiva means they live a very, very long time. Another example of that, of course, is Jambavan, who was born from Lord Brahma. And Jambavan, we all know about his pastimes and Lord Ram's pastimes, that he served the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he was the Riksha Raj, he was the king of the bears. Prabhupada says he wasn't a bear. Prabhupada said he was the king of the bears, and of course, his daughter, Jambavati, later on married Krishna. When Krishna appeared, millions of years after Lord Ram appeared. So these are all personalities who lived for a very, very long time, and they're engaged in devotional service, and a certain period of time they're asked to take up certain responsibilities, such as being the Sapta Rishis or the Manus. So we'll continue reading. Text 17. Devaguyat sarasvatyam sarvabhauma iti prabhu stanam purandadha drishtva dritva malaye dasyatishvaraha. In the eighth manvantara, the greatly powerful personality of Godhead, Sarvabhauma, will take birth. His father will be Devaguya, and his mother will be Sarasvati. He will take the kingdom away from Purandara, Lord Indra, and give it to Bali Maharaj. Very interesting, isn't it? So it's like the opposite of the pastime that we read about in the previous chapters. Interesting. So many interesting things the Lord does from one yuga or one manvantara cycle to another. Navamo, text 18, Navamo Daksha Savarnir Manur Varuna Sambhavaha Utaketur Dita Dita Ketur Ityajas Tatsutanrupa. O king, the ninth Manu will be Daksha Savarni, who is born of Varuna. Among his sons will be Bhutaketu and Dipaketu. Text 19. Paramaricha Garbhaja Devatindro Budha Smitaha Yutimat Pramukhastatra Bhavashyan Trishayastataha. In this ninth manvantara, the Paras and Marichi Garbhas will be among the demigods. The king of heaven, Indra, will be named Adbhuta, and Dutiman will be among the seven sages. Text 20. Ayushmatam Buddhararyam Rishabho Bhagavatkala Bhavitayena Samradam Trilokim Bhokshated Bhutaha. Rishabhadeva, the partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will take birth from his father, Ayushman, and his mother, Ambudhara, will enable Indra named Adbhuta to enjoy the opulence of the three worlds. Text 21. Dasyamo grama savarnir upashloka sutho manapu tatsuta burishe nadyok Havishmat Pramukha Dvijaha. The son of Upashloka, known as Brahma Savarni, will be the tenth Manu. Burashena will be among his sons, and the Brahmanas headed by Havishman will be the seven sages. Text 22. Havishman Sukutha Satyo Jayamurti Stidavijaha Suvasana Vritu Virudaja Deva Sambhu Shambhu Sureshadaha. Havishman, Sukrata, Satya, Jaya, Murti, and others will be the seven sages. The Suvasanas and Virudas will be among the demigods, and Shambhu will be their king, Indra. Interesting. So Lord Shiva becomes Indra at one particular juncture. Vishvakshena Vishucham tu Shambho Sakyam Karishyati Jata Swamshena Bhagavan Grihe Vishvashrijo Vibhu. In the home of Vishvarashtha, a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear from the womb of Vishuchi as the incarnation known as Vishvakshena. He will make friends with Shambhu. Interesting. Text 24. Manurvai dharma savarnir ekadashama atmavan anagatastatsutascha satya dharma likhudasha. In the 11th manvantara, the manu will be dharma savarni, who will be extremely learned in spiritual knowledge. From him there will come 10 sons headed by such a dharma. Text 25. The Vihangamas, Kamagamas, Nirvana Ruchis, and others will be the demigods. The king of the demigods, Indra, will be Vaidrata, and the seven sages will be headed by Aruna. Text 26. Aryakasya sutastatra dharmakshetoriti smataha vaidrittayam harirangshas trilokim darayishyati. The son of Aryaka, known as Dharmakshetra, a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will appear from the womb of Vaidriti, the wife of Aryaka, and will rule the three worlds. Text 27. Bhavita rojasa varani rajan vadashamo manapu devavan upadevascha deva shrishta dojasutaha. O king, the 12th manu will be named Ruja Savarni. Devavan, Upadeva, and Deva Shrestha will be among his sons. Rita Dharma Chatrindro Trindro Devascha Haritadayaha Vishayascha Tapo Murtish Tapash Vadni Dra Kadayaha. In this manvantara, the name of Indra will be Ritta Dharma, and the demigods will be headed by the Haritas. Among the sages will be Tapo Murti, Tapasvi, and Agni Draka. Text 29. Swadamakyo Harirangsha Sadayishyati Tanmanaho Antaram Satya Sahasa Sunritaya Sutho Vibhu. From the mother name Sunrita and father name Satya Saha will come Swadama, a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He will rule that manvantara. Text 30. Manustrayo Nisho Bhavyo Deva Savarni Atmavan Chitrasena Vichitraja Deva Savarni Deva Jaha. The 13th manu will be named Deva Savarni, and he will be very advanced in spiritual knowledge. Among his sons will be Chitrasena and Vichitra. Text 31. Deva Sukarma Sutrama Sangya Indra Divaspataki Nirmoka Tatvadarshadya Vavishyanti Vishayastadha. In the 13th manvantara, the Sukarmas, and Sutramas will be among the demigods. Divaspati will be king of heaven, and Nirmoka and Tatvadarsha will be among the seven sages. Text 32. Devahotrasya Tanaya Upaharta Divaspataki Yogeshvaro Harirangsho Brihatyam Sambhavishyati The son of Devahotra, known as Yogeshwar, will appear as a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality, Godhead. His mother's name will be Brahmati. He will perform activities for the welfare of Devasvati. Text 33. Manurva Indra Savarnis Chatur Dashama Eshati Uru Gambira Buddhaya Indra Savarni Virya Jaha. The name of the 14th Manu will be Indra Savarni. He will have sons like Uru Gambira and Buddha. Pavitras Chatusha Deva Chuchirindra Vavishati Agnir Bahu Suchi Chuto Magadai Jastapasvinaha. The Pavitras and Chakshushas will be among the demigods, and Shuchi will be Indra, the king of heaven. Agni, Bahu, Shuchi, Shuda, Magadha, and others of great austerity will be the seven sages. Almost finished. Text 35. Satraya Nasyatanayu Vrihad Bhanu Satagarhi Vitanayam Maharaja Kriyatantun Vitayata. O King Pariksit, the 14th Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will appear from the womb of Vitana, and his father's name will be Satrayana. This incarnation will be celebrated as Brihad Bhanu, and he will administer spiritual activities. And finally, text 36. Rajamsa Tatrudashaitani Vikalanu Gatani Te Proktanye Vir Mitakopu Yuga Sahasra Payaha. O King, I have now described to you the 14 Manus appearing in the past, present, and future. The total duration of time ruled by these Manus is 1,000 Yuga cycles. That's just like from Bhagavad Gita, Sahasra Yuga Paryanta. This is called the Kalpa, or one day of Lord Brahma. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Description of Future Manus. So one question, you know, why all this description of the different Manus and the different Saptarishis? And basically, there's several reasons. One, of course, is to show us that the Lord's incarnations and the Lord's devotees are endless, and Bhagavatam describes that the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like waves of the ocean. In other words, it's uncountable incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and uncountable devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another reason for all these descriptions is, as described by Srila Prabhupada, the whole show is only temporary. Bhutva, bhutva, pralayate. Again and again there is a manifestation, again and again there is a destruction. And it's just a temporary thing, so we shouldn't take it so seriously, this material world. I mean, sometimes we take ordinary things like politicians very seriously, just like recently we had discussions about politicians in the United States, and then we had discussions about politicians in India. Very interesting discussion. We're discussing the Prime Minister and the President, the person who's just appointed as President of India. And, you know, we take it so seriously because we're within a certain time frame. You understand? We're actually living within a certain time frame, so we take everything happening so seriously. We spend so much time reading the news about these things and wasting our time with all the for Jalpa. And I was realizing yesterday how much time we waste. Yesterday with Ekadasi, as everybody knows, hopefully you know. And I was flying in an airplane. You know, usually when I'm flying in an airplane, actually, I'm sitting down in my seat and the airplane is flying. I like flying, but anyway. So usually when I'm in an airplane and the airplane is flying, then, you know, I'll read the news or read this little book or do this or that. You know, just, or, you know, grab a magazine at the in the airport, you have these lounges, you know, so they get a magazine or grab a newspaper and spend some time reading a newspaper. But yesterday, I didn't do that because it was a codicil. You know, usually I don't fly in the codicil, but sometimes you do because of the schedule. So I thought, it's a codicil, not really appropriate for me to read about all this nonsense stuff. So instead, I chanted Hare Krishna, which is something new for me. And I got a lot of rounds done. It was interesting how much time we have for Krishna consciousness that we're not using properly, isn't it? That we engage in all these other things. All I did that day was fasting from the news. I didn't even fast from prasadam. But I fasted from the news, and then I had so much more time. You know, reading the Bhagavatam, because I have a Kindle with the whole Bhagavatam on. I was reading the Bhagavatam about the symptoms of Kali Yuga. That's really interesting stuff. The symptoms of Kali Yuga. And I was so much more engaged in devotional service, so I realized how much time I waste every day, isn't it? Dealing with these temporary things, like, of course, usually I don't deal with who the manus are, who the saptarishis are. That's not in CNN, or in Fox News, or in USA Today, but still, it's basically showing us the whole show is very temporary, so we should really be conscious of Krishna, utilize every moment. That's a quality, of course, of a great pure devotee that uses, doesn't waste a moment. Anyway, so now we'll go into the next chapter. And this chapter 14 is entitled The System of Universal Management. So I'll read the chapter summary, and then maybe we'll go on, because we haven't had any purport yet. This chapter describes the duties allotted to Manu by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the Manus, as well as their sons, the sages, the demigods, and the Indras, act under the orders of various incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the end of every Chatur Yuga, Chatur means the four Yugas, consisting of Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Kali Yuga. And it's interesting, did you notice the order here? Because that's the normal order. That's the normal order. Sometimes the Dwapara Yuga becomes switched with the Treta Yuga. It's interesting, isn't it? That's mentioned in the purport, and Srila Prabhupada mentions that several times. Of course, Kali Yuga never gets switched with anything. That's it. It's the end. The sages, acting under the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, distribute the Vedic knowledge and thus reinstate eternal religious principles. Manu's duty is to reestablish the system of religion. Manu's sons execute Manu's orders, and thus the entire universe is maintained by Manu and his descendants. The Indras are various rulers of the heavenly planets. Assisted by the demigods, they rule the three worlds. The Supreme Personality of Godhead also appears as incarnations in different yugas. He appears as Sanaka, Sanatana, Yajnavalkya, Dattatreya, and others, and thus he gives instructions and spiritual knowledge, prescribed duties, principles of mystic yoga, and so on. As Marichi and others, he creates progeny. As the king, he punishes the miscreants. And in the form of time, he annihilates the creation. One may argue, if the all-powerful Supreme Personality Godhead can do anything simply by his will, why is he arranged for us, why is he arranged for so many personalities to manage? How and why he does this cannot be understood by those who are under the clutches of Maya. So I could speak a little bit about this, because the question arises, you know, that why does Krishna have to keep appearing? Why do the sages have to keep appearing? Why doesn't he just give good instructions one time and that's enough? And there's two explanations for this. One explanation is given in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna explains why he has to teach this Bhagavad Gita again. And that's, of course, in the fourth chapter of the Gita, where Krishna talks about the parampara system Evam puram pura praptam imam raja so vidhu. He says, let's do this. He says, I taught this knowledge previously to Vivaswan, Manu, Ikshvaku, and thus it came passed down in the chain of disciplic succession. But in time, in time it was lost. So, therefore, because religious principles tend to get lost in time, and we see this even in the modern age, that apart from Krishna teaching the Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, we see that Lord Chaitanya appeared to reinstate or reestablish religious principles, and then after him, everything was lost for some time because there were a whole bunch of sahajas and deviant Vaishnava groups who... Is there some water somewhere? Water everywhere, not a drop to drink. There were many deviant Vaishnava groups that were described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and also by Srila Bhakti and Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And these deviant Vaishnava groups, let's say, misinterpreted the philosophy given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the founder of Acharya in one sense. Even though the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they wrote very extensively about Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Then, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to reestablish these principles. And then even between their time and Srila Prabhupada, we find a lot of misunderstanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada reestablishes religious principles. Excuse me. And then we look at Jesus Christ who appeared, that's better, who appeared 2,000 years ago, and basically a short time after he appeared, then things were changed, dramatically changed. So this is the problem, and this is the reason why the Lord has to keep appearing, why different Sapta Rishis have to appear. Another reason, I mentioned there were two reasons, is that the Lord explains things according to the circumstances. Like you find the different yugas that are described in Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Kali Yuga. So in each and every yuga, there's a different explanation according to the people's ability to receive. And we know the different yuga dharmas are different. You know, Satya Yuga, there's the opulent, I'm sorry, there's the meditational system. And then after that, you have the opulent sacrifices. After that, you have deity worship. And after that, in Kali Yuga, of course, we have Krishna Nam Sankirtan. So there's adaptation according to time, place, and circumstance. And we find, of course, Srila Prabhupada, he was very expert in adapting what he had learned from his spiritual master in the Western world. And Srila Prabhupada was, we examined his pastime, he was constantly changing his strategy as to what worked. Prabhupada was very flexible in that way. I mean, there's an example when Prabhupada was in India, Prabhupada was distributing his Bhakti guidance, then someone told him, and Prabhupada had the realization that by printing bigger books, the big books, that will have more effect, and Prabhupada did that. And then Prabhupada went to Jhansi, that didn't work, so Prabhupada kept adapting the strategy, and finally Prabhupada went to the West. Even in the beginning, before Prabhupada took sannyas, we find that Srila Prabhupada his strategy was to make money. And in this way, carry out his spiritual master's orders, make a lot of money in the pharmaceutical business, and that didn't work. So Srila Prabhupada was just adapting things according to time, place, and circumstance. And so this is the requirement, of having different personalities appear at different times, because there's a necessity of adaptation. Anyway, so that's why things can't be just stated once, written down in books once, And then everything works from then on. So we have, I guess we can read a few verses in this chapter, and then tomorrow we can go ahead to a verse with a purport. All right, let's read the first three verses in the chapter. Tomorrow we'll be ready for a verse with the purport. So text one, Shri Rajavacha Manvantureshu Bhagavan Yata Manvadayas Vime Yasmin Karvani Yena Niyuktastat Vadashvame. Maharaj Pariksit inquired, O most opulent Shukadeva Goswami, please explain to me how Manu and the others in each Manvantara are engaged in their respective duties and by whose order they are so engaged. Text 2. Shri Rishi Ruvacha Manavo Manu Putrascha Muniascha Mahipate Indra Suraganaschoiva Sarve Purusha Shasanaha. Shukadeva Goswami said, the Manus, the sons of Manu, the great sages, the Indras, and all the demigods, O king, are appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various incarnations, such as Yajna. Text 3. Yajadayo yakatita purushastanaivo nupa manvadayo jagat yatram nayantyabi prachoditha. O king, I've already described you various incarnations of the Lord, such as Yajna. The Manus and others are chosen by these incarnations, under whose direction they conduct the universal affairs. And Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, the Manus execute the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various incarnations, which is exactly what the verse says. So any questions or comments? We've got 2 more minutes for class. Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues, disagreements.
Why wouldn't Lord Shiva take the position of
an Indra? Because wasn't anyone else? Like Krishna takes the position sometimes of Indra too. Krishna may take the position of a Manu. Krishna may take the position, a different position of Lord Brahma's described. Because sometimes there's just no one else. Just like if, let's say if there's a temple president and the pujari doesn't show up. Guess what? The buck stops with the temple president. Or hopefully not the GBC. So then, you know, that's responsibility. It's not that the temple president says, hopefully we're talking about watching. So, not the temple president says, that's not my duty. You understand? So Krishna is setting us that example. That ultimately you take responsibility. You gotta fill in if nobody else shows up. And so sometimes there's no one else to do the job, so Lord Shiva, Vishnu, they have to take these different positions. That explains it?
Yes, thank you very much.
Just like, that's responsibility. Yeah.
I was thinking the other day about how we read so many names.
Mm-hmm.
We read so many names, and each one of them has a magnificent story to tell. There's a very important story about that personality. So like we say, for example, Apurva Prabhu appears in the book, and it's a name, but we know what he is, you know, his personality, and there's a whole story behind him. Now, these names are all very important, but of course we don't know who they are, and they're just names. But each one of them represents myriad things.
Yep. Each one has a whole life, the great devotees, I mean, great personalities. But with the passage of time, sometimes no one remembers the names. Just like the story of King Kukundi. He went to Lord Brahma to find a husband for his daughter. You know that story in Bhagavatam? Some of you may know that story. And because he went to see Lord Brahma, a lot of time passed on the earth plane. And he was told, guess what? Everybody that you knew, everybody that knew them, and everybody knew them, they're gone. Nobody can even remember them. But if you go down real quickly, Lord Balaram's on the earth. And you can get your daughter married. It's always a happy ending to that story. Even though he lost all of his relatives because of the difference in the time factor. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.